This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 40 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And only for the month of January, earn up to $550 extra when you sell with The RealReal. That's right, up to $550 extra. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn up to $550 extra this month at TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
Testing, yep. Okay. Welcome to the Nick Oliveri Show. It's Nick Oliveri, number one best-selling novelist, Ukrainian-born. I don't say independent usually, but yeah, I'm an independent best-selling novelist. Like it's another facet. And I bring that up because it's notable for today's episode. So I'll start you off with the story. It's my grandmother's birthday today, my dear Grammy. She's just amazing. I love both my grandmas, but it's my Grammy's birthday today over on the East Coast where she lives. And I called her and we were just talking, hey, happy birthday, da 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 da. And you know what I introduced her to? So she really likes to read. We have that in common. And I gave her my copy of The Picture of Dorian Gray by Oscar Wilde, of course. Because so she really likes like the Gilded Age and, you know, the ladies dressing and like the very like ostentatious, bright colors and, you know, elegance, ornamental dress and fashion to the hilt. You know, my Grammy's very interested in that. And I've always loved her, like her passion and her taste for fashion and nice things. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, it'd be perfect for you. Because, you know, and she also likes, she's very interested in, like, the British royalty, for example. She just really, she likes, you know, to look on at posh things. She loves, you know, fashion and things around that. Royalty, wealthy people, kind of, like, but, you know, higher society and how they function. You get it. I gave her the picture of Dorian Gray because, one, she likes to read, and, two, oh my gosh, like, there are whole sections of that. The whole book, really, is very, it's foppish, it's foppish, pompous, or should I say foppish pomps, or pompous fops? It's both. It's all of them. That's what the picture of Dorian Gray is. I have episodes prior if you want to listen to that. Enough of that. I gave her that, and I was like, yeah, you know. And then we kind of started talking about the book because she was getting into it. She said, oh, yeah, you know, the chapters are long, but it's very good. It's a short book overall. I was like, yeah. And it got me to thinking while we were talking. I was like, Grammy, like, man, like, yeah, they really, it's so unique because you wouldn't get that published by a big publisher today. No big publisher. Now, granted, I understand some tastes change, but it's still one of my favorite books. I'm a person that lives today. I count. I have a voice. You're hearing it right now. You're listening to it. I love that book. I freaking love that book. The Picture of Dorian Gray, Oscar Wilde. Incredible, unbelievable read. And I was kind of talking about how it is three sections largely, but like it's tangential, you know? It's not always very clear as like, what is this about? What is it about? You know? I'd argue it's a treatise on beauty and relationships and so much more. It's just very insightful. It goes way beneath the surface for a book that's so obsessed with ornaments and ornamental language and, you know, I'd say like advanced, yeah, elegant prose. It's very elegant, when it comes to a novel. And we were talking and I was like, yeah, she was like, yeah, you know, like no books really. And she does read a lot. She doesn't read a lot of what I like to read, but you know, she likes some historical fiction and older authors. And sorry, kind of got me thinking onto this train of like, dang, you know what else hasn't been good besides books? Like, I really do mean this, like, big budget movies are a lot more expensive than even like, say, a big budget book. You know, that could be like 10 grand to produce if you have the right cover designer and you need all the different formats, maybe like 20 grand at most, you know, if you include the editor. And I'm not talking about book deal, distribution, marketing. I'm talking like maybe 10 grand ish to just produce and have everything ready for a really, quote, industry big budget book. Big budget films are way more. Why am I saying this? Nick, what are you getting at? Constantly ask yourself, Nick, what are you getting at? I'm getting at this because movies are much more expensive, you don't have many, like, big, you don't have nearly as many big-time movies promoted by big-time studios, or in books case, publishers, promoted as you do with books. Books, it's like, you can, you know, you could have, I was in Barnes & Noble the other day, and you have, you know, so many new ones that are pushed. And when I say push, I mean they're given a huge stage. And I think it's very political. I think they're all slanted one way. I think what is being proffered right now by large corporations, by big publishers, and yes, big movie studios as well, is uniformity. And it's the same in film. It's uniformity. My granny was kind of saying this too. She was like, well, times were simpler, you know. And if it didn't ring true, so she was born in like the 40s-ish. And so she's like a real boomer. She's like a right in there. Like, she's at the heart of the boomer generation. And, you know, if you would hear her talk in a vacuum and you're maybe under the age of, I don't know, 50-ish years old, 40, 30, whatever. If you're not like a, you know, a grandmother who's in her 80s, you would say like, oh, okay, well, okay, boomer, right? There's a reason why that's a saying, okay, boomer. You grew up in a completely different time, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You could say that if you heard her in a vacuum. But then I started to agree with her notion of like, well, things used to be so much simpler and, you know, people had this certain etiquette. And, you know, safer outside to play. And, like, you know, you look at the movie in the books and the movies, too. And I'm like, you know what? And then it took me down this whole rabbit hole of thought. When I say rabbit hole, I don't mean, like, going and researching. Just kind of going into the recesses of my own memory and observation in the current day. I was at a Barnes & Noble last week. And today I was in a bookstore. More to come on that later. I have a story about that. I have a story about the bookstore, and it ties all back into what I'm trying to say. So, normally I'd say, okay, Grammy, well, you're a boomer. You grew up when everything was super cheap. You could have a single family income. You can have just like the dad working his sales job or even his factory job. And yes, they may work hard, but like, and then you could just go buy a house in the suburbs. It's like 3,000 square feet for one person working at a factory. Like, yeah, you're a boomer. And then it's just like, well, there's a lot of things that may be true. She's like, we didn't need phones. We didn't need computers. I know. But then I related it to my own life. I grew up in the 2000s. I was born in 2000. I grew up in the 2000s. Began to really take shape in the 2010s. So I related what she was saying to what I thought. Well, what was popular when I was growing up? Like, okay, the other day, for example, this wasn't served to me on a YouTube algorithm. It wasn't served to me scrolling on Instagram or anything like that. And I don't even have TikTok. Deleted it. Done. I don't care. I don't care about book talk. Get me off of it. If you want to promote my books and or talk about them on TikTok, do it. I'm not on there anymore. Used to be, tried, had actually an awesome social media manager doing a lot of that for me. But yeah, I just not into it. And without any beckoning. I just kind of got the urge the other day to, it's just like, you know what I kind of want to watch and laugh at? Just laugh at. Like, my favorite scenes from the movie Dodgeball. Just like, you know, some of those scenes. I don't know if you've seen the movie. If you haven't seen it, it's just a very dumb, stupid, silly, goofy, goofball, stoop movie that was produced and released in 2005, I believe, right around there, 05-ish. Vince Vaughn, Ben Stiller, Justin Long, and that blonde woman actress who I think married Ben Stiller at some point, something like that. Fantastic movie. Like I said, is it stupid? Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's incredibly dumb and inane. But it's awesome. Because they... You know why they made the movie? We used to have something called comedy. And it's like, oh yeah, I went... I don't care. I haven't enjoyed a book that's been put out that's not like... You know, I'm down for nonfiction nowadays, some of it, but even a lot of that gets like political and divisive. I'm not a fan of so much of what is going on with our art. I'm not. Our film, our movies, our media, it's all gotten worse. So I was watching the clips of Dodgeball and I was just laughing. And they're like, if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. If you get dodge traffic, you can dodge a ball. And just stupid stuff happening throughout. And this goes back to the idea with my Grammy, and I'm just like, you know what? Like, and I was talking to her, because, you know, it's her birthday today. And she goes, like, or you know, and I'm just saying, you know what, Grammy? Am I wrong in saying I also too, like, I was raised still on things that were around my time earlier too, but also stuff around my time. I got to appreciate Dodgeball. I got to appreciate Star Wars when it wasn't owned by Disney. I got to appreciate Marvel when it wasn't owned by Disney. You know what I really enjoyed? Star Wars Revenge of the Sith. Saw it in theaters. I was 5 years old. Book it. I saw Dark Knight. Batman Dark Knight. Second in the Nolan trilogy. In theaters. With my dad. Still the best movie I've ever seen. Not just the best superhero movie, best movie I've ever seen. But speaking of superhero movies, I can't stand them now. In fact, I've been boycotting Disney since 2016. But superhero movie? You know what? I went and saw Iron Man 3 in theaters. I saw Iron Man 3 in theaters. This was a while ago, probably 10, 11 years old, with my buddy Nick. My dad took me for my birthday. We went and saw Iron Man 3. Me and my buddy and my dad. And that movie freaking rocked. That movie rocked, okay? Maybe I was just 10 or 11, but you know what? It was super cool. Tony Stark was awesome. His girlfriend Pepper was hot. You know, I think it was Gwyneth Paltrow back when she was really good looking. And I don't care. I don't care what you have to say. I just don't care that this is a... It was awesome, okay? The guy with, like, the electric thing. And it was just a superhero movie. It had a great arc to it. Iron Man is so freaking cool, or at least he was. And it was awesome. He was, like, a playboy billionaire, but he was also a genius. And he learned to have, like, grit, you know, throughout that. Back before... Oh, what do you know? Disney. Disney owns Marvel, too, and Star Wars. Yeah, man. You know what else was really big when I was growing up? Harry Potter. You know what's still big? Harry Potter. Huh. It's almost like no one in entertainment has the nuts, the balls, to come up with a better IP or a different IP that breaks out. You know what was really big when I was growing up? Hunger Games. You know what's still big? Hunger Games. I've been in 70 plus Barnes and Nobles in the last 2 years, 70 across the entire continental United States. I've been around 70. And you know what was being promoted just maybe a month, 2 months ago? Was the new Hunger Games book that featured Haymitch. It was a prequel. I was like, I read that when I was like 13. I read that when I was like 12, 13, maybe younger. That came out when I was in like middle school, maybe elementary school. We were reading the Harry Potter books in elementary school, but that was back when like they were coming out. I remember when the last one was released, it was a big deal. Now, they're still one of the best sellers. And they're still trying to drag... I was going to say Tolkien. God, she's not Tolkien. They're still trying to drag... Well, what's-her-face? J.K. Rowling through the mud for whatever she says, whatever. Yet, it's still the biggest franchise. That, Star Wars, they're all still the biggest. Oh, you know what else was really big? The Lord of the Rings movies. When I was really, really young. My dad... You know, and I would watch those now before my time. But still, you know, I grew up on Back to the Future. I'm just going to list all this out. You know, I saw Jurassic Park when it was like before, because this year, this summer, month or so ago, Jurassic World, New Age Order, Let's Cut Everyone's Balls Off, the sequel came out, or the prequel, or the super sequel, whatever. But they're, of course, ruining and maiming and neutering Jurassic Park. Because Jurassic Park was really... it was a novel by Michael Crichton, and it was meant to... a brilliant novel, might I add. And it was, you know, one of the big messages was, hey, don't play God. And it's about hubris. Specifically, man's hubris. And... the idea that, you know, science is able to not just harness nature to our desire, benefit, pleasure, you name it, but it can also be unleashed. And the more of nature you unleash, and the more of nature you want to harness, don't be surprised if there's a tertiary effect that you don't even realize and can't account for, because you are of nature. Look, it's so much more than that, but that's a big idea. You know, it had a message. It had Jeff Goldblum, man. Jurassic Park. I don't know any movies, Amy. Nick Cage had Long Legs. Long Legs was the last movie I've seen that came out in the last... I'm dead serious. The last 7 years. And no, I don't watch a lot of movies, but still, I've seen some. Some lately, I mean, and but Long Legs was produced by Nick Cage, and he starred in it. You know when Nick Cage was really big? Oh, guess. Oh, when I was growing up. That's when he was really big. National Treasure, remember that? That's Nick Cage. Of course it's Nick Cage, of course. Oh, the only movie I like that was produced in the last couple of years was starred in by a guy who is famous for Before Now, who was probably greenlit for a very expensive project, I think it was Netflix, for Before Now, for what he did before, because he's still a big name. Everyone knows Nick Cage, Nicolas Cage, whatever. It's huge. It sucks. Everything's worse. The video games? Everything is worse. Everything is worse. I don't know how to... I'm trying to put it eloquently, but I obviously, none of these podcasts I work out and do a whole script for. You know, that's, I write novels for that. I'm not going to write scripts for these. But what I'm trying to get across to you is something that I could intergenerationally relate to my grandmother on for the first time, maybe ever. I kind of just came to me in somewhat of like an epiphanic moment. It's a hard thing to say if you're used to epiphany. But it was of an epiphany where I just realized, like, huh. I finally get it. I finally get it. Times were simpler. But I genuinely think things are far worse now. And let me give you an example. Let me give you an example, because I'm not just saying they're worse compared to now. And my stuff was better than the stuff from the 70s and 80s. Let me get it. No. This is what gets into the big next part here. And let me go over it. And I'll wrap it up by talking about my trip to the bookstore today. I was getting a haircut. I'm new in town. So I just saw, on the other street, there's a bookstore. I love bookstores. It was an indie bookstore. It wasn't a Barnes & Noble. I will get into that. So, the art, movies, literature that are being pushed, I should say, because I think there's still talent. There's still people that are really good at what they do. There's still musicians and artists that are still really good at what they do. Filmmakers that are really good, but a lot of them are independent. Or a lot of them are, you know, on YouTube, and they might be more pressed to make, you know, say shorts and things, YouTube shorts, but just...
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels, but my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal, game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 40 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And only for the month of January, earn up to $550 extra when you sell with The RealReal. That's right, up to $550 extra. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn up to $550 extra this month at TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
Just bear with me. Because what I'm doing right now is comparing my, you know, with my conversation with my Grammy, I'm comparing what she was saying about her time, the movies she watched and the stuff that they were doing and you know, and the cultural norms of then and what I remember growing up. And so I started thinking. As she was saying these things, my Grammy, my dear Grammy, okay, what does she mean here? What is she saying? Well, she was saying, look, kids used to play outside. We used to be outside and everything was safe. And then, you know, when we'd come in, we'd come in when it started to get dark. And you know what like the movies we watched, they were just really good. They taught good things. They had good things. And I say, what movies do I like from the 60s? What music do I like from the 60s? And I was like, for me, I don't really know. Like, I know the Beatles came out in the 60s. I'm not a big fan of the Beatles. But then I go, hold on. One of my favorite movies came out before she was born. It's called It's a Wonderful Life. It's one of my favorite movies. If you've never seen it, I'm not going to preface it. Not even going to. Just, it's a black and white film. It's a Christmas film. And it's one of my favorite movies. Makes me cry every time, being honest. That's all I can be. Makes me cry every time. And so, then I started thinking, okay, well, she, you know, they played outside and no one was worried about what was going on and no one had screens in their face. And I go, wait, you know what? I go, hey, Grammy, stop right there. Stop. Hold on. When I was growing up, yes, I grew up in a cul-de-sac in, you know, largely in Massachusetts. And I said, I would bike to my friends' houses. She goes, oh, we'd bike to our friends' houses and we'd go everywhere. I go, wait, I'd bike all around with my friends. I'd go bike downtown. We'd play basketball. I'd go bike to my other buddy's house. Go, we'd play basketball in the cul-de-sac, play roller hockey until our, you know, feet and hands bled. And then we'd keep playing. And then when it got dark, we'd just kind of go back to the house. I didn't have a phone on me. I just told my parents, look, I'm going biking. Gonna go bike over to, Adam's house. Okay. Be careful. Wear a helmet. And then I was off. And I realize now, like, yeah, that might not be the case for kids. And I'm talking to someone who's 60 years my senior. 60 years my senior. But that gets me back to the art and culture, because I go, okay, well, 60s, not so big. I don't know a lot of movies from the 60s and songs and stuff, but like, I mean, the literature, I mean, before she was born, one of my favorite movies was made decades, or at least a decade before she was born. It's a Wonderful Life. And then I go, well, in the 70s, you know what I've been listening to? I've been listening to a lot of Led Zeppelin. I've been listening to a lot of Pink Floyd. That was right in the 70s. And then I just go, yeah, no, the conclusion I came to, because she goes, yeah, you know what? You're right, Nicholas. Yeah. She goes, yeah, you're right. You did. You probably did do that. You know? You probably did just, yeah, go biking around. But now kids have their screens in their faces. And I was like, holy cow. You're like, you're right. I didn't have an iPad or an iPod or a phone that had a screen until I was, well, you know, I was a teenager. And that's just how it was. I'm not here to talk about the current, like, state of this, like, technocracy we live in. I'm not doing that. What I'm doing is I'm just trying to say there was a lot more I had in common with my grandmother reminiscing about the, quote, good old days than I think I do have with kids now. This is coming from a 25-year-old. I'm going to repeat that. I'm 25. I think that in terms of art, culture, literature, film, entertainment, music, I think I have more in common with my grandmother than I do a 12-year-old right now. And I say 12-year-old, it's like, well, you're almost twice their age. I am. I'm 25. 12, 13, I'm twice their age. But when I started to form my tastes, I was much younger than 12. I was 5 when I went and saw Revenge of the Sith, Star Wars, in theaters, when it first came out. And that movie I've seen 900 times. And you say, well, Nick, that's nostalgia. Are there any films that have come out in the past 5 years that are animated that are better than Shrek or Shrek 2? Finding Nemo? Anything better than Finding Nemo? I'll wait. Animated films. What about Aladdin? I grew up on Aladdin. What about Little Mermaid? Anything better than that? That's animated by, that's been put out by Disney or any of these other big corporations? I'll wait. What about comedy? You see any good comedies lately? Any good comedy movies? Happy Gilmore 2 just came out. Oh, wait. That's the sequel to the IP from the late 90s, early 2000s that was so big. Oh, another IP ripoff. And I hope Adam Sandler got a big payday, but I heard that movie sucked. Any good comedies in the last few years? Do they hold the candle to Dodgeball or Superbad? Or Step Brothers or Talladega Nights or the original Happy Gilmore or Billy Madison? Or even Nick Swartzen's Bucky Larson, Born to Be a Star, Division III Football's Finest. Do any of... I can't laugh at a movie today. I can't. But here's my point in saying this. Like, the literature I read, the painters that I appreciate, although I go to galleries and I like modern painters who are alive today, of course. And I've read books from authors that are alive that I really do appreciate, absolutely. But not as much. Not as often. And movies, film, oh my goodness, that's really where the egregiousness starts. And I say, yeah, Grammy, I kind of have to put up the red flag, Boomer. I didn't say that to her like that, but like, or white flag, I guess, for Surrender. I have to put up the white flag. Like, I know more Looney Tunes and Tom and Jerry and Popeye references than I do whatever the hell kids are watching today. Like, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're watching. I don't know what they're... What do they do? Like, what do they do? I don't know. I don't know. I just know that when I walked into a bookstore today. I'm going to make a part two to this, but I told you that I would tell you the story of me later today after talking with my Grammy. After I got a haircut. Yeah, I got a haircut today. And I saw a bookstore. It was just an indie bookstore. Walked in. Hey, how's it going? Hey, I like to talk to people. Hey, how's it going? Oh, yeah, okay. Here's the fiction section. Okay, cool. What I always do at bookstores, whether it's a Barnes & Noble or an independent bookshop or something in between, like a, what is that, iBooks up in the Bay Area? Something like that. What I like to do is I like to pick up a random book. Doesn't need to be anything, just a random book that I don't recognize from everywhere else. Something that's uniquely on the shelf. Pick it up and go through it. I picked this one book up. It was by Scott something or other. Apparently he was award winning. Who cares, right? I say that I'm critically acclaimed, which I am. I'm Kirkus recommended. But there are way more novelists and authors out there than there are filmmakers, for example, right? So you could say, who cares to me? Sure, fine, whatever. So this guy is like an award winning, whatever, whatever. And he had a traditional publisher backing his stuff, right? And so I opened to it. I don't start on the first page. I always open to a random page. I read one part of one random page. And here is what it was. It was two girls getting away on a car, two women, and one of them said, men with their guns. And the other goes, yeah, they just wanted to show who was boss. And they talked a little bit more about how they were disgusted and basically mocking these two women in the story, in this fictional novel. Men with guns, and how they just basically like crossed them up. They really diced them up, those men with the guns. And they're like, oh, they're so big. They think they're so big. Men love their guns. And the other woman was saying something like, you didn't have to do that. And she was like, it was either them or us. And obviously I'm not quoting the novel verbatim because I wasn't going to buy that shit. Oof. Whoops. I wasn't going to do it. But that's right about what I saw. And I didn't even read a page. Usually I like to read a couple pages. And I was like, so one random book out of one bookstore full of many, many, many books. I get it. I read the first half of a page I read from a random novel in there. Traditionally published novel is how stupid men are with their guns and how easily women just dispatched of them. That's what I saw. That's what it was. Now, maybe he was making like a statement. Maybe he wasn't. It matters less. It's just, I'm tired of, and by the way, my current work in progress, for example, I'm very far into this new work. Talked about it before. Spiritual successor to Monsters in My Mind. Not a sequel, just a spiritual successor. It's narrated similarly. So the first-person perspectives will speak very differently from another first-person perspective. That's how it goes, right? This was not narrated in the first person. This was third-person omniscient. Okay? So it was the narrator, and it was two women just, yeah, saying what they said. And you know what? I just kind of wanted to barf because I was like, is there anything that's being pushed? And you know, there's serious money that went into that book. It looked nice. It was a nicely put together little paperback novel. And it was like the final anvil on my toe. Maybe on my head or my back, somewhere more devastating. Let's be more dramatic. It was the final anvil on my neck, and I couldn't get up. It broke. I broke. I was like, oh my God. And then I was like, okay, I'll put the novel down. I'll go talk to the bookseller, you know, and have a good conversation. Just have a good conversation and head out. They were setting up chairs. Actually, you know what? I'm going to save this for a part two. So in part two, I'm just going to flesh out my ideas. And this is part one of what have we done to ourselves. I hope in a few of my tangents and rambles, you're able to see kind of the broader tapestry of what I'm painting, which is, look, the things that are being produced nowadays are worse. I think we rely less on hard work. I think we preach and teach hard work less to our young. Whether you're a mentor or a parent or a teacher, a coach, I think we teach hard work less and less to our young. And I think nowadays, there's partially my generation and also millennials to blame. They're now the ones that are beginning to get into, and maybe have already been into for a while, the filmmaking industry, and also the novel, the literary industry. They're the ones taking up the mantle, and now the fine art, and now the films, and the shows, and the cartoons are all being bastardized, written by people who have had the wrong message sent to them. Am I making a sweeping generalization? Yes. Am I speaking the truth? Am I speaking my truth? Am I drawing from my observations, seeing a pattern through it, and telling you my pattern? Yes, I am. I haven't seen a funny comedy in a while. I haven't. I haven't seen a funny comedy ever in the that has been released in the last 5 years. I haven't. I thought the show I Think You Should Leave was funny. Tim Robbins, he's very funny. I thought that was funny. It had its ups and downs. But that's like, that's one show, one time, and that's about it. Like, now they're getting South Park, and they're, you know, it's on Paramount. They get to control more of what they, it's just, I just think it's messed up. If you think the art, here's what I'd pose to you. If you think that this is more of a tangent and an incoherent ramble rather than me putting the pieces together verbally of a larger picture, how about this? I'm gonna pose it back to you. And if after all this you don't get my point, then fine. Do you genuinely think that art, literature, media, entertainment, forget morals for a second. I was talking earlier in this episode about The Picture of Dorian Gray. Oscar Wilde was accused of obscenity in that. He was like, I think, charged, or like there was a public outcry to like ban his book, and it was a big problem at the time in the, you know, 1800s. So what did he say? He said there are no moral or immoral books, only well-written or otherwise. Something of that. He said, like, there are no moral, immoral books, only ones that are well-written or not well-written. That's what he said. That's what Oscar Wilde said when posed with the question, the public scrutiny of, your books are obscene. Your books are not for our culture. Your books are bad. He goes, but is it good? So I'd pose the same question to you, and I'd say, last 6 years, let's look at all the amalgam of entertainment, because now we have more and more and more and more and more being shoved into our ears and into our eyes and up our noses, into our mouths all the time. Every orifice, think about it. I won't say it, but you imagine it. We have it. So much entertainment. But is this entertainment? The books that are still being put out, all this money being put into the films, are they better than what was put out 15 years ago? Better. Not more moral, not less moral, like Oscar Wilde would say. I'm going to hold it to the scrutiny of are they better works? Are they better works of cinema? Are they better works of literature? Are they better? Are they really better? Or do they just suck? Are most things coming out nowadays that are pushed by large corporations just really sucky? when it comes to entertainment? That's the question I'm going to pose you. If you think that, you know, this wasn't a cogent, I mean, it's not totally cogent. I prepared points and I'm just telling you the patterns I've observed. Things are really, really bad. I haven't even really gotten into video games. Like the Battlefront 2 I played on Xbox versus the Battlefront 2 nowadays. By the way, I'm not the only one complaining. But even if I were, I would still do it. But there's a large outcry for people that are older than friggin' 3 years old that remember a time when games were games. You bought them, and that was that. Nowadays, because of servers and online play, a developer can just go, pull the plug. I'm gonna cap it right here. There's going to be a part two. There's going to be a part two. But I need to cap this right here. What have we done to ourselves? Bar one, thank you for listening. Link below, Monsters in My Mind, available on Amazon and actually any bookstore, not any, most bookstores worldwide. If it's not on the shelf, you can just go to the bookseller and say, hey, I'd like to order this. Monsters in My Mind by Nick Oliveri, The Conjurer, anything in The Conjurer series, or just follow me on Amazon, look me up, Nick Oliveri Books, you can get them. Working on a lot of really cool stuff, but and a lot of really awesome works of art, but I'm just going to keep it, just going to keep that at the part one. What have we done to ourselves? Thank you.